Matthew chapter 6 verses 22 and 23 and chapter 7 verses 1 through 5. The lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is sound, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eye is diseased, your whole body will be in darkness. And if the light inside you is darkness, how great that darkness will be. Don't judge, or you yourself will be judged. Your judgment on others will be the judgment you receive. The measure you use will be used to measure you. Why do you look at the splinter in your neighbor's eye and never see the board in your own eye? When the whole time there's a 2x4 in your own. Hypocrite, remove the board from your own eye first. You'll be able to see clearly to remove the splinter from your neighbor's eye. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Hi, my name is Rachel Larson, and just as a preface for this talk, I served as a mentor, an academic camp counselor, one would say, for the Gustavus Academy for Faith, Science, and Ethics, Land, and Identity this year. Each mentor was asked to share a personal testimony about the intersection of nature and faith. My pondering of the elements that make up creation, that make up my personal experiences, and that make up the body of Christ, that is creation and all of us, led me to the following. While I read this text in Matthew, I stumbled on the image of a diseased eye, something new that I relate to, but I wanted more about it than is said in the reading. But luckily, a few verses later, Jesus talks about removing a board, or a 2x4, from your own eye. And I saw that as making it sound again, like okay again. It also sounds like something difficult to do, removing a board from your own eye, which is what my first story is about. On last year's annual Larson family vacation, we traveled to a tropical place full of adventure. Somewhere quite different from our home turf of Eagan, Minnesota. It is beyond description. Yes, you guessed it. It's Rochester, Minnesota. Yeah! A Larson family tradition is enjoying the outdoors in the only way we can. Walking. Our family isn't athletic, so we make do with our talent of having feet to walk on. Last year we hiked in a state park near Rochester. I strapped my feet into my Chacos, ready to go. Mom led the way, followed by myself, and then Carl, my brother, and then Dad. The park was a lush forest. The trees shielded us from the sun, while the spaces between the leaves let some light onto the ground. The path was worn by all of creation. Humans, bugs, animals, worms. As we hiked, the slope of the land began to increase. I wiped my hand across my forehead, continuing to put one foot in front of the other. The trees provided shade, but trapped moisture under the canopy, making it hot and humid, the worst combination. I don't remember when it started, but I couldn't get enough air into my lungs. I was only taking shallow breaths. But I kept putting one foot in front of the other, my eyes locked on the ground. All I had to do was walk and breathe. It shouldn't be hard. I slowed down. Carl, my 16-year-old brother, passed me, asking if I was okay, and I quickly nodded, not wanting to draw attention to myself nor admit that my younger brother had passed me on the path. And I kept trying to inhale, hearing ale whistle through my constricted windpipe, but never felt it reach my lungs. I just needed a full breath, but I couldn't, for no reason. So I stopped and I leaned against a tree, wheezing with every breath, the bark scratched against my back, my face covered with a thick layer of sweat, and my vision showed darkness creeping into my periphery. My dad touched my shoulder. "You okay, Schnookums?" I didn't have the energy to be embarrassed by the nickname for me. I just nodded. Of course, Mom was fine. Carl was good. Dad could speak to me, and I was just leaning against a tree, useless, unable to speak. My dad saw the stubbornness and frustration in my eyes, but neither of us dug into why it was happening. Instead, he just said, "Okay." His voice full of worry and gentle motivation. "Just take your time. We're in no rush." I left my refuge of a tree and then started walking, one foot in front of the other, breaths getting shorter and louder. I didn't make it far. Mom stopped me so she could gather the family together before continuing the hike, you know, like a duck and her ducklings. By the time I caught up with her, my whole family started to notice that something was wrong. My face, bright red, my lips, pale. I was constantly whistling, but not on my own accord. My shirt showed how much I sweat. I was literally a hot mess. And I couldn't say why. Not just because I couldn't take a breath deep enough to speak, but also I couldn't understand why this was happening to me. So we turned around, walking a snail's pace to the car, and I wanted to cry. I ruined the tradition of the Larson family hike. What the heck? This is one example of how things can get out of whack in my life, a dysfunction. The effects are seen and recognizable. I had an asthma attack, by the way. It was asthma. Like, I didn't die. It was just asthma. It's fine. I had an asthma attack, and then I got medication for it. Medication and familial support are a couple ways I could help my dysfunction or diseased self. I had the means to take the log out of my eye, a handy-dandy inhaler. But what about the dysfunction that remains unseen? So, I'm living with depression. That is the ultimate dysfunction of my body self. Yet, no one's experience of depression is the same. It's easy to compare with others who share the experience, but telling people about the dysfunction or the disease who haven't experienced it, that's hard. They could judge me with a splinter in their eye, but I judge myself with a 2x4 in my eye sometimes. When I picked up my prescription for the first time, my brother, who you know passed me, my brother looked at the piece of paper and read, "Depression? What are you depressed about?" I was like, "I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what I'm depressed about." It's the community. Sorry, I skipped a line. It varies from day to day. I'm depressed about various things. Some days are wonderful, and I feed off one another's energy, and I bring my life to the community and uplift it so others may experience joy, and it's great. Other days, I can't get out of bed. Why would I? I can't answer it on those days. It can snowball into something far worse because I am a member of a community. By staying in bed, I am letting down my roommates who text me to make sure I'm okay. I let down my partner when I flake on a date. I let down my family by not valuing their love and giving it in return. I feel like I let God down by not caring for a member of creation, which is me. The phrase, "you need to love yourself before you can love others," gets stuck in my head, and I begin to think that I can never love others. That's my call. So then I feel like I've lost my call. I cannot serve my vocations. The greater good cannot be served because of my dysfunction. Because of our interdependence, I can hurt more people than just myself. So, what happens to communities when they are out of whack? I am causing dysfunction by simply existing. My asthma, my depression, even my consumption of resources that promote the destruction of creation. Yet there is an undeniable community that reminds me the diseased I is not a definition of me nor anyone else. Together as the body of Christ, using our gifts, we help remind one another to dislodge the 2x4 in our own eyes so that we may exude light. I love being a part of communities. That is where I find fulfillment. When I lift someone up, that is the best thing I can do. And yet sometimes, I wish I wasn't part of a community. Sometimes I forget my vocation and I cannot fulfill it. I despise my inability to help others during those times. The shame I feel during these times create this body being in darkness. But Lauren Winner wrote about shame in her book titled Wearing God, and she said this: "While I feel cloaked with shame, God is tenderly stitching me a suit of clothes. The clothing is God's own self. Anything God wants to nestle against is not shameful. So if I actually believed that God wanted to be close to my curdling, the shame would dissolve, and I would be slightly less hidden from God or from myself. I cannot live independently. I rely on my fellow earth creatures, those gathered in this room and far beyond the walls of this place. I am connected to everything in the world, for we all began the same way. That is so hard to believe when I disconnect from my friends, family, and God, but I am part of God's interconnected creation. Breath will return, even when you cannot believe it. I just went on a hike this summer with a community, and it was a success. No wheezing, just me and creation. Matt, the daddy long legs, Annika, catfish, Eric, the water, Maddie. All of the creation was there. Dysfunction isn't permanent when we are interdependent, because we are there to help remind one another of our stardust selves. Thank you for being in creation with me. Amen."
Sometimes people think that they can't clap and cheer in church, but can we give thanks for Rachel for sharing that brave message? And let's stand as you're comfortable. Jesus chose to spend his last night on earth with his friends. He took bread. After blessing it, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Each time you do this, remember me." Then he took a cup. After giving thanks, he passed it to his friends, saying, "Drink. This cup poured out for you is the promise of God. Whenever you drink it, remember me." Whenever we share this bread and this cup, we remember Jesus' death and resurrection, our hope and our life. Thanks be to God. Let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Come, the table is now ready. Taste God's goodness. Thank you. And blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen us and help us get us through this day. Amen. Please stand as you are comfortable and we'll sing our final blessing.